Hello, everybody. It's Jim Maesano on College Hoops Chat, our weekly college basketball radio show here on WVOX 1460 AM, also available online at www.wvox.com. Also, Alexa. If you tell Alexa, tune into WVOX. You can listen that way. Anyway, this is our March Madness show. It happened, folks. We have an NCAA tournament, and it was fabulous. It was fun. So many great games, exciting upsets, everything a hardcore college basketball fan or just a regular basketball fan could ever want. It was a tremendous opening first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. I want to tell you, I know you think I'm a little nuts when I tell you this, but I watched all or part of all 48 games in the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. I didn't see all the game. Sometimes I had to watch it on DVR, but I saw parts of every game. So exciting. As obviously, I have a very supportive wife. Thank you, Jean. But it was so much fun, and I'm really excited for this weekend. We have the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, which will get us down to the Final Four. You know, the NCAA tournament is very unforgiving. We start on Friday morning at 11:59, and there's 64 teams ready to play a basketball game, thinking they can win the national championship. And 4 days later, those 64 teams become 16 in the Sweet 16 when we get back at it on Saturday. It's that fast. All these really good basketball teams get knocked out. Personally, even though, as you can tell, very happy about having an NCAA tournament after losing it last year, my teams didn't do so well. I have four teams I root for that were active this weekend. And guess what, folks? Bad news, 0-4. I root for the North Carolina Tar Heels. I'm not even going to comment on the fact that they got blown out on Friday night, 85-62 to Wisconsin. I don't even know what happened. It was a disaster. It wasn't their night. Let's move on. Went to Buffalo Law School. They played in the NIT Friday. I didn't see the game because I was watching the NCAAs, but they lost, but I heard they played very well. They lost a close game to Colorado State. Now Saturday, two teams near and dear in my heart. The first one was the St. Bonaventure Bonnies playing a really good LSU team. And it was a very frustrating game as a Bonnies alum because they lost 76-61. But the problem with the game was that they set the tempo. That was their goal. LSU likes to fly up and down the court. St. Bonaventure set the tempo. They slowed it down. They slowed down LSU. That was the plan. So that worked. But guess what didn't work? They only hit one out of three shots. They only shot 33% from the field for the game. They only shot 15% from three-pointer, and they got out-rebounded 49-30. Look, no one's ever going to win a basketball game when you shoot 33% from the field, 15% from three-pointers, and get out-rebound by almost 20 rebounds. It was not St. Bonaventure's night, even though great season, finished 16-5. Still had a great season, enjoyed rooting for them. Iona, let's quickly talk about the Gaels. What a great job by the Gaels. They didn't win, but they were playing one of the five or six best teams in the nation in Alabama, the SEC champs. Let me tell you something, folks. It was 33-32 at the half. With 9 minutes and 14 seconds to go, Iona was down 47-46. To one of the best teams in the nation. They played great. But you know what happened? They played their hearts out. They left it all out there, but they got exhausted. You know, they have all those shutdowns, all that missed practice time. They don't have a lot of depth. They got exhausted. They were winded. They got gassed. And they lost. But they played great. You know, congratulations, Iona College. So proud of you. Finished 12-6. The future is out there. It's going to be amazing under Rick Pitino. Iona fans are going to have a lot of fun in years to come. You could just see what a brilliant coach Coach Pitino was to have his team ready to stay in the game until 9 minutes to go against a great team like Alabama. So the big story of the weekend, right, is the Pac-12. A conference in college basketball kind of neglected by all the talking heads on TV, the big networks, ESPN, Fox, CBS. Like, they barely even talked about the Pac-12 this year. I mean, what happens? Pac-12 sends five teams to the NCAA tournament. Four are still alive. Four of the five Pac-12 teams are still alive in the Sweet 16. They played fabulous. I mean, you really got to take a second look. And basically, you wonder, is the Pac-12 the best basketball conference in America? You have to ask that question. You have to ask it. Why? Because we were told all year by the talking heads on TV, all the experts, I'm doing the quote sign, experts, that the Big Ten was by far the best conference in America. Well, they sent nine teams to the NCAA tournament. Only one of them still alive. Then we were told the second best conference by far was Big 12. They sent seven teams to the NCAA tournament. Now, how many are left? One. One Big 10 team, one Big 12 team. That's it. Pac-12's got four teams alive. Also, a Big East team, a conference we talk a lot about here on the show, they did get two teams in the Sweet 16, Creighton and Villanova. Upsets galore. Lots of fun upsets. North Texas beat Purdue. Oral Roberts beat Ohio State. That's maybe the upset of the tournament. Abilene Christian beat Texas. That was a crazy game. Ohio beat Virginia. I mean, Virginia and Texas and Ohio State, these were teams people were picking in their bracket to go to the Final Four. Knocked out this weekend. Season over. Syracuse beat San Diego State. UCLA beat BYU. Oregon State beat Tennessee. Those are your big upsets, and it was exciting. I think this was one of the best NCAA tournaments so far I've ever seen, particularly Sunday. Sunday was tremendous. I don't know if you got a chance to watch Sunday, but the games on Sunday, they were great. Yesterday, not so great, but Sunday, Loyola Chicago over Illinois, Syracuse over West Virginia, Arkansas over Texas Tech, Houston over Rutgers, all fabulous games. Do we have our guest, Chuck? All right, folks, I am so happy to introduce on the radio right now, Dick Hoopsweiss, my new friend. We talked on the phone yesterday for an hour about college basketball and college football. Dick, thank you so much for coming on College Hoops Chat.
It's my pleasure.
It's great. We had a great chat yesterday. You're a fountain of information. So thank you for giving me all that information yesterday. Dick, did you find this weekend, four-day NCAA tournament, as fun as I did?
You know what? I'm going to a draw right now. I missed the games.
Me too. Me too. Although, I tell you, I needed a break.
I think what's great is it tells you that the committee may have gotten the right teams in the field but didn't necessarily do their homework with seeding. I think there's too many people out there that want the Power Five schools to succeed, and we're finding out right now that if mid-majors or teams that might not be at the same level as the Big East or the Power Five schools have 5 days to prepare and have experience, they can play with a lot of people.
Well, let's go to Exhibit 1. I'm a lawyer. So let's go to the exhibit, Dick.
I like that.
All right, let's go to Exhibit 1. Loyola Chicago played Illinois on Sunday and not only beat them, but they soundly beat them 71-58. They dominated the game. They played the perfect game, a tremendous game. But, Dick, it's kind of a perfect example of what you just said.
Yeah, and you know what? People are finally rediscovering Porter Moser. I mean, I met Porter when he was an assistant to Rick Majerus at St. Louis, and he looks like he picked up an awful lot of Rick's system when he left. I mean, he's become, obviously, the hot new coach in America once again. He's even been able to overshadow Sister Jean a little bit with that defensive strategy he put together.
It was brilliant. It was a joy to watch.
Then yes,
basically shut down. By the way, Illinois is a great team, and they have a lot of tremendous players. But they had a defense scheme that slowed them down, shut them down, moving with double teams and boxing ones. It was tremendous.
Well, you don't expect Io DeSumo to finish with six turnovers. And, you know, they controlled the pace of the game, and they controlled the shot selection in the game. This is a team, how many of these kids are going to be pros? Somebody said they, it looks like four Catholic League kids and a plumber out there. I mean, Krutwick is a big body. I don't know that he's got a future in the pros, but he's an exceptional passer at the college level. They play through him on offense. He's mastered that half hook of his, and he had no fear of playing against Coburn.
Tremendous game. You know what? Think back a little bit in that game when NC State upset Houston. You know, where you really didn't think it was possible, and then there it was right before your eyes happening, where it kind of a really smart upper-class team on NC State was able to upset Houston that game. You know what I mean, Dick?
Well, and the irony of that season, I was at that game. The irony of that entire season was the fact that Carolina State doesn't even get in the tournament unless they win the ACC tournament. They were about a 500 team during the regular season, but part of it was because one of their guards was hurt. And when they had a full complement of players, I mean, they were, the chemistry was really good. And Jimmy really played, really came up with a smart game plan against Skyvey Lewis, who, you know, the game before we saw a Welcome to the 21st Century Dunkathon between Houston and Louisville when the McCray brothers were at Louisville and Houston had five slam pajama. Jimmy slows them down, makes them shoot three throws, and frankly wins the game on a fluke on an air ball by Derek Wittenberg that's put back in by Lorenzo Charles. And the thing I like the best out of that is so many of those kids were either from DeMatha or they had New York roots.
That's right. That's very true. By the way, folks, I hope you now see very quickly why Dick is in the Sports Writers Hall of Fame, because he just went from this year's NCAA tournament with great detail back to when NC State won the national tournament in 1983. That's pretty impressive, Dick.
I'm just addicted to the sport.
I could tell you all. Well, that's great. All right, let's talk. So I just want to give you my theory about why the mid-majors get neglected. I think at the end of the day, Dick, we should never forget about the power of money in college sports. And at the end of the day, Fox and CBS and ESPN, they have these giant contracts with the Power Five schools. That's why the talking heads never shut up about the Power Five conferences and neglect the top mid-majors.
I see it all the time, and you see it when it comes to major awards in football and basketball. Everybody's got their own agenda. I think it's a shame because you still need to play the games. And the one thing that's so great about the NCAA tournament, Jim, is the fact that it's a one-and-done situation. I mean, you know, best out of seven, like the NBA, best team almost always wins. Here, everything is up for grabs. You show up, and you're wedged to the three, and you have one bad game, and you can't defend, you put everything on the line.
How about Friday night when Oral Roberts upset Ohio State 75-72 in overtime, a team Ohio State that some people had in their Final Four?
Yeah, I don't think that they did their scouting report because O'Banner and Avis are pretty good players. I mean, they're averaging 56 during this first two rounds of the tournament. And, Ohio State never really was able to take over the game. I figured their guard play would end up dominating the game at the end, and they really didn't have anybody to deal with Liggins, but Liggins was in foul trouble, and frankly, the guards, Washington was not the same player that we thought he had been in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, they had a couple of guys having an off night. I'll tell you what I thought, Dick. I thought that everything you just described happened. Oral Roberts was better than everybody expected. Ohio State was having an off night. But I thought when Ohio State got it to overtime, they would turn on the Jets and win. And that didn't happen either.
Yeah, do you have a feeling that a lot of these teams thought they could play in cruise control? I mean, there was no sense of urgency defensively when teams fell behind. I think we saw that particularly in the Illinois game. Illinois just didn't seem to play with the type of urgency you need to advance in a game. I don't know that these teams come in and they just read their own press clippings or not. But, you know, people are finding out the hard way. I mean, look, who would have guessed when this tournament started? 16 teams from the Big 12 and the Big 10. Two are left.
Nobody. Not one person in America. Imagine the Vegas odds on that, Dick.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And not only that, Jim, but there are four teams from the Pac-10 still with us. I mean, I would never guess that Oregon and USC would be playing each other for the right to go to the Final Four, and that Oregon State, who was probably picked to finish last in the league, would be in a Sweet 16 game against Loyola with a chance to go to the Final Four, and UCLA, which had lost four straight games at the end of the season, would be in a situation where they're playing Alabama. And UCLA, you know, don't sleep on any of these teams.
Absolutely.
UCLA is shooting 43 from the three in this tournament, and Iowa State is shooting 40. Who would have guessed that?
Hey, Dick, about a year ago, if I would have said to you, next year in the tournament, there'll be more teams in the Sweet 16 from Oregon than the state of North Carolina, you would have told me I was nuts.
Yeah. And you know what? The teams from North Carolina said goodbye quickly.
No, they didn't have a good night. All right, Dick, I'm going to make a bold statement here. I want your commentary. Here we go. Ready?
Yes.
I'm going to call the Pac-12 the best college basketball conference in America this year.
Interesting, because I think last year's Pac-12 might have been just as good or better. If you look at Arizona, and if you look at a Colorado team with Bay, and you look at an Oregon team with Pritchard, I mean, who knows what that – we might have had a coming-out party last season.
Good point.
For the Pac-12.
That's a great point, Dick. It's an interesting point in that the talking head analysts on the big cable networks missed, right? These people that they had one job, right, Dick, is to kind of figure out who are the emerging teams. And they kind of missed the fact that – last year, the Pac-12 had a pretty good season, and they were having a pretty good season. This year, we're going to represent themselves very well.
You know, I think, Jim, I think sometimes we have this East Coast bias, not intentionally, but the games are on so late at times. We just don't see these teams play, and there is a tendency to focus in on the teams that are always on primetime and ESPN, and less of a tendency to focus in on games that start at 11 o'clock.
But absolutely.
I think we're finding out that Gonzaga and the teams in the Pacific Northwest and Oregon are pretty good.
That's interesting. So you said the word Gonzaga. We haven't even talked about the team that just went through the first two rounds. They were not a team that didn't turn on the Jets. They turned on the Jets the minute the ball got tipped and never turned off the Jets. Gonzaga's terrific.
Yeah, they. I mean, look, how many times do you have a team that has three All-Americans? It doesn't happen very often. I mean, you know, Timmy and Suggs and Kispert are all – you can make a case that they are the best at their positions as far as being effective on the floor. And, you know, AI will also probably play in the NBA when he graduates,
right?
Or when he leaves. I mean, it's a nice team. Mark Few, there's a reason why Few has won 82% of his games.
Yeah, tremendous coach, built a tremendous program, a model program for the country. I love when now you know, Dick, we're here in New Rochelle at WVUX. We all love Iona College here in New Rochelle. They're our local team, and we're so excited about Coach Pitino being there. And he likes to say he's going to try to build the Gonzaga of the East. That makes us happy, Dick.
Well, it should. I did a book with Rick back in 92, the first year that they came off probation, and I absolutely think he is the best talent developer in this country to this day. I think if you go and watch his individual instructions, if you ever sit on his practices, nobody does it better. And I think he's reached the point where he's happy where he's at. He likes living in New York. He doesn't necessarily want to get back in the rat race. I think he thinks that he has enough contacts to get the type of transfers you need and get the type of European imports you need and get his share of players out of the New York Catholic League, and he can be nationally competitive. I mean, look what he did this year. For 33 minutes, he controlled the game against Alabama.
Who's a terrific team, and they're in the Sweet 16, right?
Yes.
So you're right. No, it's a very exciting time at Iona, and I have zero doubt in my mind that the Iona College Gaels, I don't know about next year, but in the next few years, they'll be winning games in the NCAA tournament.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, the small Catholic schools basically built the NCAA tournament. I mean, and if you take a look now, Gonzaga, Loyola, Iona, those are teams we're all talking about.
Very true. Very another great point. This is why you're in the Hall of Fame, Dick. Great point. All right, so we got a couple of minutes left. Kind of this weekend, a couple of games I'm glancing at. Let me bounce them off you. I think Baylor, Villanova, because Villanova stepped up their game. Other guys stepped up to replace Gillespie. I think Villanova, Baylor could be a very fun game. What do you think?
I want to see. Look, last game when they played North Texas, they had eight different guys make threes, okay? But they were wide open threes for the most part. I don't know that Baylor gives up the easy shot. They played Villanova last year down in Myrtle Beach, and they beat them. And so Jay has a feeling for how good they are. Baylor's very good defensive front, and they're very active. They're not the biggest team in the world when they play vital. I mean, but they are extremely active at every position, and they have two players, Mitchell and Vital, who probably are two of the five best defensive players in the country. Having said that, I'm a huge Jay Wright guy. I am. We've been friends since he got to Philadelphia back in 1985, and I've watched him grow up. I watched him when he was Rowley's assistant, when he was at UNLV with him, when he was at Hofstra, and when he got the Villanova job, and he has taken that program to the next level. I mean, I feel badly for him, and I think this is a problem. You get a key player hurt, and the immediate reaction of the selection committee is to drop him two seeds. So instead of being a three, suddenly they're a five after they lose a first-round game to Georgetown. But they're not playing like a five right now.
I agree.
I mean, it looks like Moore is 100% again. They're getting really good effort out of Robinson Earl, who is probably playing as the most complete game that I've seen a Villanova front court player play in this tournament over the last 5 years. I mean, he's just terrific for them so far. If they shoot it, and they shoot it from three, Jay can make it a game, and he will come up with a defensive strategy that makes Baylor work to score points. I think that is a very interesting game. And the other game that I'm intrigued with probably is Oregon-USC.
That's a good game, too. All right, Dick, the music's about to go on. Let me just say, you were great. I want, if you, hopefully next season we can get you on this show once a month so you can give us our wisdom about college basketball. Would be great.
All right, Jimmy, it's so nice talking to you.
Thank you so much, Dick Hoops White. You did a great job. Folks, we're going to the commercial break. We'll be right back for the second half of the show. Kicked off with Kenny from Rye. College Hoops Chat.
Westchester's favorite morning show.
I love the morning show.
Good morning, Westchester, with Dennis and Tommy. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
Jim Masseno, College Hoops Chat, back on WVOX 1460 AM. So happy that you tuned in tonight. How about Dick Hoops Weiss? That's like talking to an encyclopedia of college basketball. What a great job, Dick. We're certainly going to get him on more shows. That's for sure. He was great. Between him and Pat Kennedy, it's like having two encyclopedias calling into our show. All right, is Kenny from Rye on the phone?
I am, James. How we doing?
Hello, Kenny from Rye. All right, before we chat, a couple of housekeeping things. I don't know when the show will be next week because Saturday and Sunday is the Sweet 16 and Monday and Tuesday is the Elite Eight. So we're not going to do the show Monday or Tuesday. We might do it a Wednesday, Thursday. I got to talk to the station. Next week's up in the air, but we go back to Monday night for the national championship game, which is at 9 o'clock on Monday, April 5th. We'll come on at 8, and we're going to be the pregame show, Kenny from Rye. What do you think of that?
Absolutely, and a nationwide audience I'm expecting as well.
Yes, nationwide audience. I agree. Hopefully we have that guy calling again from L.A. That would be perfect.
That would be great.
All right, Kenny from Rye. We talked on the phone today. We've talked over the weekend. We're both really impressed with what happened with the Pac-12 this weekend, winning 4 out of 5 games. More than that. Let me give you the numbers, Ken. The Pac-12 this weekend in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. Ready for this one, Kenny? They were 10-1. The conference was 10-1 against opponents. I mean, it's unbelievable, right?
Amazing. I mean, from a perspective of what we thought coming in, and I don't think, you know, we can look back and blame anybody, but the Big Ten did a great job of setting up their schedule. They had a great tournament. They looked great in season. You know, one game is obviously tough, and the urgency wasn't there. So from a perspective of what the Pac-12 and Gonzaga, let's include them as West Coast team, brought to the NCAA is really astounding.
So second place in the standings was the Big East. They were 4-2, which is near and dear to our heart, Ken. We talk a lot about the Big East. Third place was the SEC, 6-4 over the weekend. Big 12 was 7-6. The Big 10 was 7-8. That's the shocker. And the ACC, right, usually the best conference in America, they went 4-5 this weekend. We've been talking all year that this was a down year for the ACC. So there's your numbers. I mean, overwhelmingly, Pac-12 was the best conference in America in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because, as I said before, I'm really surprised here about Creighton. They did such an amazing job after getting blown out in the Big East tournament. And the real shock for me was seeing Georgetown just get blown out in the first part of the NCAAs. They looked so good during the tournament, obviously defensively as well. They've got big bodies up front. And, you know, Creighton, when the three isn't falling, they run into a lot of trouble. But they're sitting there with Villanova as the only two teams in the Big East in the Sweet 16.
Creighton played really well this weekend. They're a team, as we've talked about on this radio show, that when they're on their game, they could literally play with anyone. But we've seen them get blown out in games that you're kind of watching the TV screen in shock because you know the kind of talent they have. But they've got to get out and run the ball a little bit. They've got to be shooting those wide-open threes, get that game going. But the one thing about Creighton, though, Kenny, compared to other teams, is they do play hard-nosed defense. Even if they're having an off night, they normally play pretty hard-nosed defense.
Yeah, I mean, they're a no-quit team. That's the way McDermott coaches them since they've entered the Big East and since I've gotten to know them. And, you know, they recruit very, very well. They have an incredible fan base. So I think from a perspective of what they're doing, to many, it's not a surprise. To myself, what I saw in the Big East, it is, and I think it's good news for them going forward. And I think it will be interesting to see how they play in the next round. Obviously, the talent steps up, and also the coaches have 5 days to prepare for you, so that makes a difference as well.
Well, we certainly saw the advantage of having the massive experience of Rick Pitino to be able to prepare his team for several days for the NCAA tournament, because Rick had Iona ready to go to play the best game they could play to keep close with Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an Iona Gale fan, which I am as well, you have nothing but optimism going forward. The way they looked and the season they had from a perspective of the shutdowns is just incredible. I mean, from a perspective of what he's done and what we expect him to do going forward is going to be amazing. And I'm excited, obviously, as a season ticket holder next year. I look forward to the games. And I think his model of Gonzaga in the East is very realistic. I mean, he's brought a lot of those European, three-point shooting and then, you know, hard-nosed defense to the Iona College campus. And it will be interesting to see.
I agree, Ken. It's going to be really fun to be an Iona College Gale fan. Just so you all know, folks, Kenny and I went to Iona Prep. So we are Gales ourselves. We graduated in 1981 together from Iona Prep. So we've been rooting for Iona College our whole lives, having gone to Iona Prep up in the north end of New Rochelle. So that's a link Kenny and I have to the Iona College Gales. All right, Kenny, let's go a little bit into the games this weekend and then go to the game. Let's first go to the first two rounds, and then we'll go to this weekend. I went through and made a list of the best game each night. I thought Friday night, the best game was Oral Roberts beating Ohio State in overtime. That was the premier game, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, everybody loves the Cinderella story. I mean, the fact that they're sitting in the Sweet 16 is just amazing from a perspective of their seed. They do have a nice history. I looked at their history this year. They've had some nice, you know, seasons per se, but obviously they're always the underdog. So it's great to see them in, you know, in the Sweet 16, and it's what makes it interesting. I think that's what draws fans.
You know what was interesting, Ken, is in the first round of the tournament, we saw in the previous week a lot of talking heads, a lot of experts, a lot of people saying the two teams that could be in trouble, that were sitting there looking like they could be an upset victim, was Creighton to University of California, Santa Barbara, and Villanova to Winthrop, which happened to be from the Big East, the conference you and I watch a ton of games and root for teams. You root for Providence, I root for St. John's. But how about both of those two teams facing down potential upset games? Creighton just got by University of California, Santa Barbara, 63-62. But Villanova played really well over Winthrop. And Winthrop was very good. And they beat them by about 10 points. So all the talking heads kind of had the wrong upsets, right? They were saying, everybody was saying Winthrop and University of California, Santa Barbara. They should have been saying Oral Roberts, Abilene Christian, right? Those were two of the big upsets along with Ohio. But some of the experts did have Ohio, as I've said. And then the other one, right? Who thought North Texas was going to beat Purdue? I didn't see that anywhere. Did you?
No, I didn't see that. That was, as I said, that was Western Kentucky's league, and I always think of them as the automatic bid from there. But North Texas stole a game, but obviously ran out of gas against Villanova. But again, if you give Jay Wright a few days, you're going to have a real problem. And you know, the second string point guard got a little healthier after a few days. And, you know, you've got a Villanova team that has been kind of talked down to for the week, and I'm sure he used all of that as motivation.
And Villanova had a great weekend. They really played well. I mean, they got a little lucky in the second round because they didn't have to play the seeded team. But they still played very well. Other guys stepped up to replace Gillespie, and I was impressed with Villanova this weekend. I mean, they've got a really tough matchup against a team I believe is just great. Baylor is a great basketball team. By the way, Baylor just might win the national championship. They're that good.
It's interesting because, as I mentioned to you and we talked about it today, is if you go into the ESPN bracketology routine and you put in yourself, and I didn't do that well this week with my own picks, but I still do have Gonzaga and Baylor in the final four. But if you go into the algos, the algorithms that where they pick it for themselves, It did well for the weekend, but it doesn't end up well for the Final Four. It's interesting because they only have one team left. But I've got Gonzaga and Baylor. I watched Baylor. I mean, they're on the edge of a pro team. I mean, they probably got three pro prospects on that team, and that's no team anybody wants to face.
Every team in America would like to have Butler, Teague, and Mitchell as their premier go-to guard. Butler's got all three, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, from a perspective of, you know, what they have, it's not only that, it's the way they get after the ball. I mean, I haven't looked at the exact size, but their guards seem to be the same size as their forwards. So they're a very, you know, tall team in my perspective, where they play tall and they play tough defense. I mean, besides being athletic and getting up on the offensive side, they are on that ball. He rotates that lineup very, very, very generously. And I think Villanova is going to have a real tough time against them, particularly, again, because of the fact is that they are down one guard.
I agree. So I think Villanova will give Baylor a game, but it's going to be a tough one for the Wildcats. I think Creighton can give Gonzaga a game, but they're so inconsistent. But if they're on, that'll be a very exciting game. The game that shocked me the most this weekend, of all the games, it wasn't Oral Roberts over Ohio State. The game that shocked me was Abilene Christian upsetting Texas in the first round. Texas is loaded. They've got two or three NBA players too, Ken. And they lost 53-52. It was the strangest game. Texas never got into gear. the coach of Abilene Christian really had his defense ready for them. That was a bizarre game because I didn't expect it at all.
It's interesting because the fact is that, you know, Shaka Smart came over with a big reputation. He has not won any big games. Rick Barnes got moved out of there because of, again, not winning any big games. And that was a huge loss. From Abilene's Christian standpoint, I mean, I looked up where they were. I was actually in Texas this weekend, and they're up in Fort Worth. So this game was a big game from a perspective of many of those kids on both teams knew each other from the Texas area. So I just don't think Smart and the team of Texas was ready for them. And they obviously discounted them and you know, obviously are now sitting at home watching the tournament because of that. But you're right. I mean, the Texas game blew a lot of brackets.
Yeah, I had Texas in the Final Four. There goes my bracket, Ken. So Sunday, I thought that Sunday was one of the best days in the NCAA tournament I ever saw. I mean, you had Loyola Chicago upset Illinois and just really play a tremendous game. You had Syracuse and West Virginia in a great game. Syracuse won 75-72. You had Arkansas beat Texas Tech 68-66, another tremendous game. And lastly, Houston and Rutgers was a war where Rutgers, unfortunately, I was rooting for them, lost 63-60. But those were four of the games on Sunday, and they were all tremendous.
I'll pick two of them. It's just interesting because you mentioned it's Syracuse versus Houston, and I watched an interview with Boeheim over the course of the last couple of days, and obviously his big thinking is that, well, the zone defense with so few people play on a regular basis, and particularly the way the Syracuse plays it, is a surprise. Now, Houston is a good team. They're loaded with offense. And then the coach will have 5 days to prepare. So I think that'll be a great matchup to watch.
I think Houston-Syracuse is going to be a heck of a fun game, Ken.
Absolutely.
I agree. All right, Kenny, we're done. Thank you so much. You did your great usual job. This is Kenny from Rye. Kenny, I'll be talking to you every day about college basketball. Folks, we're going.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ken. We're going to commercial break, folks. Come back for the final segment of the show. Start calling now. Call now if you want to get a call in. 914-636-0110. Call us.
Start your mornings with radio's favorite morning team, Dennis and Tawny, and Good Morning Westchester. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
So excited, folks. We're back on the final segment of College Hoops Chat, our March Madness show, talking about everything going on in the NCAA tournament. And I have two great callers on hold, so let's get to them. Number one, I believe we have one of our coolest callers, because he calls from L.A., T.R. from L.A. Are you there?
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
We are so happy that you called, and we want to say go Trojans. How about those Trojans?
How about them? They're looking pretty good, huh?
They blew Kansas off the court.
Yeah, that was a crazy performance. I mean, I was hopeful, but I didn't expect that kind of showing. So really happy about that.
You got to be really excited. And now you have a very interesting game coming up. Oregon, a team that you know, you play them, they're in your conference. What are you thinking about USC-Oregon?
Oregon's been playing great lately. We had a good showing against them late in the season, but they've been playing really good basketball lately. They're always tough. So, I'm hopeful like I was against Kansas. I don't want to get greedy, but maybe we'll have some success there. And then all we have to do is get by Gonzaga.
That's all. Although I'll tell you, Gonzaga, if Creighton is on their game, Creighton will give Gonzaga a game. I think Gonzaga will win. But Creighton, when they're on and they're hitting their threes, they're tough to beat.
Yeah, that should be a good matchup. I think Gonzaga's, just too tough. But
they're great.
Hopefully that'll be a good game.
So are you willing to tell me on this radio show tonight that your team, the USC Trojan, plays in the finest basketball conference in America? The Pac-12?
According to Bill Walton, it's the conference of champions. So,
I saw that.
I don't know if you've seen, you know, lately, but we haven't won a championship in a little while. But you know, we got four teams in the final 16. That's not too bad.
I think you did great. Here I am in New York, subject to the East Coast bias, and I, on my radio show here, listening to all the talking heads on ESPN, CBS, and Fox, only talk about schools east of the Mississippi. I think everyone missed just how strong the Pac-12 conference is.
There's a lot of parity in that conference, Jim, and you know, there was a lot of tough games that USC played, and they lost a number of them, but they're peaking at the right time. I'm looking at my bracket right now. There's a lot of red on it, but I'm liking the Oregon State Loyola of Chicago matchup. That's two Cinderella stories.
That's a fun game, right? I can't wait to see that game. By the way, I'm looking forward to. Did you have any idea? Obviously, they won your conference, but prior to that, did you really think Oregon State was this kind of team?
No, not at all. They were picked to finish last in the conference. And I think USC was picked to finish sixth. So, you know, you can throw away the preseason predictions. You know, Oregon State has never been this good as long as I've been watching the Pac-12 and Pac-10 prior to that. But they're on a roll. They've got a tough team, and they play for a good coach. And, you know, they're showing a lot of momentum right now. So I feel good about them.
Absolutely. So one other question, since they're your rival, and you know all about them, too. UCLA not only won two games, they won three games to get into the Sweet 16. They got a really tough game against Alabama. What are you thinking about the Bruins?
I think they're going to run out of gas. They don't have a deep bench. They've played three games. They've looked great. But, you know, at some point, the music's going to stop for them. You know, as much as I'd like to see an LA team continue to win, that's not the one I'm rooting for. So I'm going to go with the Trojans.
Well, listen, TR, thank you so much for calling. Just so you know, I have a group of my friends that we have a text group. Everybody gets so pumped when you call from L.A. because you make us a national show. Thank you so much.
Hey, glad to be here, Jim. Keep it up.
Thanks so much. All right, great. Have a great week. Enjoy the games this weekend. Good luck to the Trojans.
Thank you. Fight on.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm rooting for the Trojans.
Alrighty, see ya.
All right, thanks so much. All right, folks, if you want to give us a call, the number is 914-636-0110, and I believe we have Tom Freyer on the line. Tom from New Rochelle. Tom, are you there?
What's up, mate? How are you, kid?
How you doing? So Tom's not just a regular call. He's the coach of Mount St. Michael. He knows basketball a lot better than I do. What you think of this weekend, Tom Freyer?
Well, one thing, you know, you being a big St. John's guy, you're not giving any props to Figueroa out at Oregon. He had some game yesterday against Iowa.
Very true. That's true.
You know what? They rode the coattails, you know, all year of the big guy, and they don't guard that well. And yesterday, Oregon really, really, they chopped up that Iowa defense. And Figueroa had some game. I know you're a big St. John's guy, and everybody was a little upset when he transferred, but it looks like he's found the right team, and Oregon can make a run here. They really score it. They really, really score the ball.
Was I upset when he left St. John's, Tom Freyer? Yes, I was. However, did he make a great choice to go to a team in the Sweet 16? Yes, he did.
You can say he did. I mean, they're pretty good. But, you know, right now it's just all about matchups, as it always is. You know, everybody's talking about the Pac-10 being the best team, the best conference in the country. You know, the ACC is down. It's about matchups, and it's a great time of the year where the little guy can shine, and we have a couple of little guys there. We'll see if they can, you know, take it another step.
All right, so let me pick a game and see what a high school basketball coach thinks. I think that Villanova and Baylor is going to be a fun game. What do you think about that one?
Without a doubt. I mean, Baylor arguably could win this thing. I still think Gonzaga's got – they have all the pieces. They really do. They shoot it. They're big. They pass it. They can really, really get after you defensively. But Baylor, you know, on a given night, anything can happen. I mean, look at Illinois. I mean, Loyola, obviously, you know, they are who they are as far as the mid-majors go. But everybody was picking Illinois. Had it that, you know, a team that had all the pieces with point guards and size with Kofi and, you know, the guard play. But they got beat. But this weekend, who knows? I mean, Villanova, they down Gillespie, but, you know, those programs, they just reload.
They do.
Reload.
Tom, when you were...
Anything can happen.
Tom, here's a question for you. When you were, as a coach, when you were watching the game plan put together by Porter Moses for Loyola Chicago, what stood out to you about the game plan he put together to beat Illinois?
I watched that game, and at about the 13-minute mark, I said to myself, Illinois is in trouble. And I'll tell you why. The point guard for Illinois, I don't know his name. I think it was number one and number three. He did an unbelievable job, just like Hoops White said, of controlling tempo. There were a couple of times he got to the rim with about 9 seconds on the shot clock and spun it out. And all of a sudden, they take it down to 3-4 seconds, make a layup, make a jump shot. And I said to myself, Illinois is in trouble. Now, Kofi, you got to remember, we played against Kofi. Kofi's Christ the King guy, and Kofi's a big, big kid. But the big guy for Loyola really had a good matchup with Kofi. Size-wise, skill-wise, not super athletic, but just knows how to play from block to block. He has really good hands. And I remember saying, you know what? Kofi's got a matchup here that he probably didn't have 90% of the games this season. So I just think they really controlled the tempo. They did a great job. They made shots. You know, they played very smart. That's why they won.
I think the guy you were thinking of on Loyola Chicago was Clemens. Clemens was the point guard that was controlling the tempo. He was terrific.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, he got to a couple of times, and he didn't go to the rim. He just spun it out and said, let me kill 7 more seconds. Let me kill 8 more seconds. Control tempo. And then they made shots, and it stayed around 10, 12, 9, 11, 13.
I agree. What do you think?
They met their match.
I was shocked by that game, but I was so impressed with the coaching and how prepared Loyola Chicago was. What a great game plan. And that's another game about matchups, right, Tom?
Yeah. I mean, listen, these guys don't all coach.
It's great.
You get the guys in, you get the players. You're right there. These guys can all coach. They can all prepare. 3 days, 5 days. Players make plays. Players win games.
So when you are do you see the difference even in high school basketball when you have only a day to prepare than when you have 3 or 4 days to prepare for your game plan?
Yeah. You know what? When you get late in the season, although this year you really can't talk about being late in the season with the COVID issues, but, you know, you get to February, March, you know, these guys, it's about watching film, the preparation. These kids have been there before, you know, and the coaches do a really good job of getting their guys ready to play. And then it's out of their hands. Once you step between the lines, players make plays. For the most part, they end up winning games or losing games.
I think one of the most interesting matchups, because I think they're just two really strong teams that are going to go head-to-head, and they're both well-coached, Michigan against Florida State. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, well, watching Michigan last night, you know, LSU was a really good, you know, matchup for them. Actually, a shout-out to Mount St. Michael, the kid number 15 on LSU, Andre Hyatt. Went to our junior high. We couldn't keep him. He ended up moving down south. But, you know, I'm watching that LSU game last night, and they almost had Michigan. Michigan went on that run. You know, Michigan's they got all the pieces too. I mean, they have size. They shoot it. They guard you. So I like Gonzaga like everybody else does, I think. But if they get beat, it wouldn't surprise me.
You know, I was watching that Michigan-LSU game, and I thought to myself a text you sent during the Iona-Alabama game. You sent the text to our friend group saying, Iona's gassed. They gave it all they had. They've just run out of gas at this point. I thought that was the same thing with LSU last night against Michigan. Did you think that too?
Yeah, they went on that run, and then Michigan went on that 10-0 run, and that was pretty much it. I don't know. I'm more about with Iona. I mean, you know, you look at Ross and Gist. They hit that 33-minute mark, and they were right there. And then all of a sudden, you could just see it. Jump shots started falling short. They were taking bad shots. Alabama went on that 8-0 run to put them up. I think it was 8 or 10, and then it was over. Because Iona just doesn't have the bench. But, you know, what Pitino's going to do, you mark my words, you check that roster in 2 or 3 years. He's got 7 guys in Europe in 7 years.
All right, Tom Freyer. That's the music. Thank you so much for calling. The coach of Mount St. Michael, great insights. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again on the show. I'm Jim Maisano, folks. That's the music. I don't know about next week. We'll get the word out on social media about next week and the following week. on April 5th, Monday. We're going to do a pregame show for the NCAA tournament. I'm Jim Misato. This is College Hoops Chat. Thank you to all the callers. You made the show great tonight. I'll see you, talk to you soon. Enjoy the games this week. Sweet 16 and Elite 8. Bye-bye now.